I want to talk about why you've decided to run. Why are you running?
President Barack Obama's policies being supported 95% of the time by Ann Custer, in my estimation, they were destroying the future of America for my children, and I felt that I had to act. The other Republican candidates as well who were running in the race weren't talking about the issues that I felt were important to the voters of New Hampshire.
In your opinion, as you say, your opponents are not focusing on the right issues. What should they be talking about?
Well, you know, just like my campaign's talking about, we're talking about issues like failed foreign policy. We're talking about job growth and economic policy, government accountability. We have huge issues of government accountability right now. You know, you look at the IRS scandal, you know, the issues with the Veterans Administration, look at what's going on with the NSA, and now we're hearing inklings from the CIA. These all stem from a lack of accountability in Washington. And right now, I don't hear our Representative Ann Custer, talking about any of these issues either. She's silent. You know, that's supposed to be our voice down in Washington, to hold the government in Washington, D.C. accountable to us. That's why I'm running a campaign, a grassroots campaign, to win back New Hampshire for the people of New Hampshire and win it back from the federal government.
You talk about grassroots. You've said that that your opponents are kind of squabbling over campaign financing and resources. But isn't the hard reality that the winner here is going to have the resources to take on the incumbent?
It's unfortunate that our process has been so diluted by money, especially money coming from outside influences. But yes, it is going to take resources. But the fact that it takes resources doesn't make any excuses for people who are running, trying to earn the votes of the people of New Hampshire, arguing about who's getting campaign checks from who and what donations are legitimate and not. That's not what the people want to hear. As a matter of fact, that's the kind of thing that turns people off from politics.
Let's talk specifics about some of the issues that we touched on earlier. Let's talk about immigration. Obviously, this has been an ongoing problem, an ongoing debate in Washington. What can break the gridlock here?
Before we can have any substantive discussion about what to do about illegal immigration, we have to secure the border. Any situation that you look at, you know, the first thing that you go to do is look at the cause and try and solve, at least stop the problem from getting worse. Right now we have a porous border. It's not keeping us safe. Anything can come across that border now, whether it's a terrorist threat or whether it's illegal immigrants coming to America. We need to secure that border now before we talk about anything else. We've kicked the can down the road way too long. We've debated this for too long. It's time to get serious about it. We need to finish building the fence where we can. We need to augment our border patrol with additional personnel, use the National Guard if necessary, use electronic countermeasures as well. But we have to secure the border before we talk about anything. We have to stop the bleeding before we can have a real debate about immigration reform and no amnesty.
And you think the resources would be there? You think the GOP would authorize this, even with the expenses?
I don't view it as an expense, because right now the American people are incurring a huge expense and a burden by trying to deal with the situation of illegal immigrants that are in the country right now. So the cheapest solution for me is to secure the border.
Let's talk about overseas issues for a moment. Of course, there's no shortage of issues to talk about in the Middle East. We've talked to an awful lot of candidates this week, all of whom have said in some form or fashion that the administration's foreign policies have compromised the U.S.'s position on the world stage. Would you agree?
You know, yes, I would agree with that. You know, I had the benefit of graduating from the United States Air Force Academy. One of the best decisions that I ever made in my life, gave me so much. But I can honestly look you here in the eye and tell you with a straight face that a first-year cadet at the Air Force Academy would know that you don't broadcast to your enemy your exit strategy, nor your timeline, nor when you're going to withdraw troops. That was a huge mistake that we made, not to mention the fact that President Barack Obama also withdrew all the troops out of Iraq without a plan to maintain stability in that country. These are the types of errors that we cannot afford. We see the result of it right now. You see the emergence of ISIS, which is, you know, a larger threat than al-Qaeda in my mind. Now they're posing themselves to be the next state-sponsored terrorist organization in the world. And they will not stop unchecked unless we do something to stop them. So now we've created a vacuum in Iraq, and now we're going to have to use our military assets and resources to be able to deal with them. And we can't afford this to happen, because we've seen in the past with al-Qaeda that these terrorist organizations will not stop at their borders, and they'll continue to threaten American interests abroad and at home. And we just can't tolerate that.
Again, politically speaking, survey after survey recently has shown that the Americans are weary, obviously, after several years of war there, about putting boots on the ground. Would you be in favor of authorizing more force, more boots on the ground?
Right now, I'm not in favor of putting boots on the ground in Iraq. I think we've paid a heavy enough price in loss of life in that country to date. I am glad that we finally authorized airstrikes. I think we need to authorize more. We need to do more to try and hold ISIS at bay. But I am not in favor of putting boots on the ground.